Welcome to Pants Not Trousers, a podcast for expats looking for belonging and connection in a foreign land.
And we're your hosts, Areej and Raheel, two women who've left their lives behind in the US and Canada to experience expat life in the UK.
How's it going, Areej?
It's going. Long pause. It's going. It's just one of those days, I think. I'm just really tired, I have to be honest. You'll probably hear it in my voice. It's a bit cracky and raspy. I went out last night. My cousin had a birthday party for her husband. Not really a birthday party, birthday dinner. So it was nice to do that because, you know, we haven't done that kind of stuff in a long time. But it was far and we got home late and, you know, the next day remorse. It's like, was it worth it? Like, was it worth losing that much sleep and, you know, suffering the next day for the whole day? Not to mention when I left, I don't know if you experienced this, but I feel like this is a pretty typical parent mom feeling, but I was going out and my kids, you know, in their usual fashion, like pleading with me not to go, you know, grabbing my leg. It was so dramatic. You know, I was like grabbing my leg and Adam putting
Did
on.
Did you go by yourself?
No. It was my husband and I.
But with the kids, that's great.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was like a nice adult evening. But the Champions League game was on. I don't even know if I got that lingo right, but football here is obviously huge. And Chelsea and Manchester United were playing each other. And this is like a huge game. And Adam like went upstairs, got his like old Chelsea outfit on and came downstairs like eager to watch the game and then realized we were going out. We had told him, but he kind of forgot. And then, so it was just heartbreaking. All of it was just like, I felt guilty. I was leaving. My kids were like crying. It was just, you know, those nights don't come for free. That's in summary, that's what it is. And then I'm just exhausted. I came home. I was trying to put the kids to bed. They usually, like when the babysitter's here, they usually actually sleep beside each other in Adam's bed.
It's sweet.
But then in the transfer was not successful. It was not a successful transfer to the cot, as they call it, the crib. Aiden woke up and just would not go to back to sleep until 3. Cause I think he was like, you're back. I am not going to let I'm not going to take my eyes off of you. So he was just rearing to go. And then, 3 a.m. he finally surrendered. So I'm tired, Raheel. I'm sorry that you asked.
It's okay.
How are you doing?
I'm a mixed bag myself. It's been a really good week. I went out. I've been out almost every single day this week. Like, I think I'm making up for a year of being locked indoors. It was also my birthday this week. And I pretty much started Saturday with going out with a group of friends. And then every single day I've been out with somebody or the other. And that's been a lot of fun.
For sure.
I got to see you. We actually did something together in person for the first time since we started this podcast. Crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, since we met. It was nice. It was a really nice afternoon.
Where it was just you and I. Yeah, it's always our families with us. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was good. But I think I've mentioned to you, we are house hunting again because our landlady who has resided in Scotland for the last 14 years is moving back to London. The pandemic made her realize how far she was from her family and friends. And in my mind, I was like, it's not that far. I mean, you can still drive home. But that was me being very selfish. We basically have to move at the end of our lease in July. And so we've been spending the last few weeks, months, actually, looking for a home. It's a little disheartening because there's not a lot on the market. London only started opening up April 12th and houses are very slow to come on the market at the moment. I think people are either selling their house and they're moving out of the city or they're just waiting for school to finish. School doesn't end here until middle of July. And so there's just not a lot of people putting their house up to rent. So
if you were starting your search like in July, I feel like that would have been better timing than starting your search now.
Yeah. But we have to be out. So there's only so much that we can do, unfortunately. And so I've been stressing about, oh my God, are we going to be homeless? What are we going to do? The prices, because there's not a lot of inventory on the market, the prices are insanely high at the moment. And you're not even getting comparable homes. Like, we're not able to find comparable homes, and we'd have to spend more money, way more money.
Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow, for sure.
It is. And
you're staying in your area. Your goal is to stay in your area.
Our goal is to stay in the area because we really like North London. We like where we live. There's a lot of green spaces. There's lots of woods and stuff nearby. And the very... I haven't met a lot of people while I've been here, but the few people that I met live here, and I've started to build a network and a village here, and I don't want to start from scratch somewhere else. And also, we touched upon it in the school episode, even if we were to leave this neighborhood, we wouldn't be able to get a school for the kids for September now, because they look at it based on where you live, December 31st. And so even if we were to move and we were to reapply to a state school, they wouldn't process our application, and we wouldn't find out about schools until September when school's already in session. I don't want that stress.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
So just another curveball, another challenge to deal with.
It's been hard. It's definitely, there are times, I think during this whole, when we found out we had to move, I looked at my husband and I was like, that's it. I'm done with living abroad. I mean, we've been here 18 months. At the time it had been 18 months. We've been here 18 months. I haven't seen any bit of London. I haven't done anything in Europe. I've been locked in my house during a pandemic. I want to go home. I want to go back to Canada, and I just want to be in an area where I'm familiar and I don't speak the wrong English, and because that is a real thing. And I just wanted to go home, and we talked about it, and no, we haven't, for that very same reason, we haven't accomplished much, anything that we had set out to accomplish here. We're going to stay. And I think, I don't know about you, but like, this idea to want to run home when things get tough, or when you just get tired and your defenses are low, you just want to run back home, and you just have to find reasons. We didn't even have to find look very hard to find the reasons. You just have reasons to continue on.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's such an easy fallback. Like, it's so easy to just, you know, we are, as humans, right? We gravitate to what's familiar, to what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And especially like at a time like this, like, there's just so many, the case is strong to go back. We grapple with the same thing. And I think, because to your point, we haven't seen much of anything, it's tempting. It's obviously tempting to stay as well. But we've also haven't seen family. Like, we haven't seen family. We haven't been able to go back. We haven't had visitors, right? Like, that was a big part of coming here was, oh yeah, you know, this is a perfect pit stop. Yep. If, you know, family or friends are visiting their families in Europe, or they're doing a trip in Europe, like, this is a great, so we were expecting a lot of people. So it's also, okay, let's see this year, like, we call it the real year. Let's see the real year through, and then see how we feel later. But yeah, no, it's very easy to fall back on going back to Canada, or back to wherever you're from.
Yeah, exactly. Flight or fight, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's a good segue to what we're talking about today. We wanted to focus a little bit on the self-care. It's a bit of a buzzword, and it means a lot of different things. But I mean, I think it's as simple as just getting back to routine and getting back to taking care of yourself. And Raheel, you got your personal trainer. How is that going?
Yeah, this is something I wanted to do last year. I had hired a personal trainer last February and wanted to get fit, and diabetes and heart disease run in my family. And I feel like I've gained a little weight, and I just want to be in a healthy range. That's really my goal, is I just want to be strong and fit. And I just want to reduce my risk of heart disease and diabetes. And so I had engaged a personal trainer last year. The pandemic happened. Everything went out the window. I spent a year just baking and eating. And so Now that lockdown restrictions have eased and I've gotten my vaccine, I feel a lot more comfortable. And I found another personal trainer and she's fabulous. I've had 4 sessions already and I just feel so good.
Good.
Doing something for myself.
That's great. Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Similarly, you know, my shoulder's been bothering me for like the last, 7 or 8 years. it's pretty bad, but it's one of those things that it's more of a nuisance than it is like real pain, but I'm like, it's going to get there soon. So I better take care of it. And my knee, my left knee. And I went, honestly, I could have probably covered like more body parts, but I had to like prioritize. I went to my first physio appointment. I'm like, okay, how much time do you have? And she's like, 60-minute appointment. I'm like, okay, I'm going to focus on 2 things. And they put me on this treatment plan and just being able to zero in on, getting better. I mean, it wasn't a particular injury. It was more about getting stronger. And just that as the goal was, it was reachable, if you know what I mean. Like, it wasn't like, oh, okay, you need to get your, you know, body mass index to this and you need to like lose 20 pounds. And you, like, it wasn't like these massive goals, but just enough goals to get me in the gym. And then once you're there, like for me, it's, I get into the gym and I don't know where to start. I'm like, do I do upper body? Do I do lower body? But now I know. I'm like, I go into the gym. My physiotherapist gave me specific exercises for my shoulder. It gets me started. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. So I might as well go on the treadmill for 15 minutes. And I might as well like work on, you know, whatever, work on my legs or my quads. So it gets you in there. So it's just like the simpler for me, the simpler the goal, the more effective. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. Just small. It just helps you check a little box off the list. Smaller attainable goals are just so much more satisfying to tick off because you know you can do them, and it's not overwhelming for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think I had mentioned this at in a previous podcast about engaging my kids. My 2-year-old is probably not in that phase of self care at the moment, but you know. My 6-year-old, especially when we're going through homeschooling, I think I'd mentioned I was trying to do meditation with him.
Yeah, I remember. How's that going?
Oh my God. It's like, it was completely out the window. I had big plans. I really did. I had big,
you big had a meditation room.
I did. I set up like this little meditation room and I was like, this is going to be our thing. And I took him up there and he's just like flailing his whole body around the room. And it was like the opposite of stillness and meditation and mindfulness. But you know what? I'll try again. But for me, I'm still keeping that part up as well. So I think I had also mentioned before, I just found, again, it's so overwhelming, the amount of resources out there that you can tap into. But I just found 2 or 3 really good meditation guides. Whether it's like the Calm app, there's this meditation guide. His name is Jason Stevenson. I highly recommend him. He's just got like such a great voice and really good content and lots of positive affirmations and stuff. So that was kind of, again, where I started and what I'm trying to continue with. But yeah, so what else? Okay, so baking, personal trainer.
Baking, yeah. No. But also, I realized I was eating too much. So in the middle of the pandemic, I mean, as expats, and this is probably a conversation for another episode, but you lose a sense of yourself if you've been working elsewhere and you quit your job and come here for your spouse. Like, you lose a little bit of yourself, or at least I felt like I had lost a little bit of myself and my identity.
Relate.
And yeah. You know, I wanted to feel like I was a contributing member to society. And not to say that as a full-time mom, I'm not, I am, but absolutely, this was for my own self fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I needed to do something. And so, in October, I started a micro bakery. I got the kitchen inspected. Mm-hmm. I had permission from my landlord. I signed up with the council and I was providing wholesale to a cute little store in my neighborhood called Middle Lane Market. Give them a little shout out. And, yeah, that was definitely self-care for me. Having something to focus on away from my family was really great. It was a great way to just channel my energy. I was baking anyways, and now I was baking. I like to share. That's the whole reason I like to bake, is to share with people and feed people. And I was able to do that.
Nurture. Yeah.
So yeah, that was great. Now I actually have to stop baking. Today was my last day baking for Middle Lane Market, only because we are moving and I need to channel my energies in the move and try to not worry about proofing my bread when I have to schedule a house tour or something. So the baking stopped today. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little sad about that. I'm actually really sad about that, because I don't know if I'll have permission from the new landlord to set up a micro bakery in my new home. Like, I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
and you don't want to put that out there because you don't want that to be limiting, right? That's, I mean, the last thing you need is more limitations, restrictions.
No, I think it is who I am. I can't, if I have been really honest with people that I do bake, and this is sort of like my thing. I don't want it to be the deciding factor in whether or not I have a roof over our heads. So if the landlord's a hard no, you cannot bake from my residence and you do not have my permission, then I'm not going to be like, no, forget it. I don't want your house. I mean, I'm still going to want the house.
We need to get your priorities straight, Raheel.
Yeah.
Head versus.
Yeah, exactly. I can see straight still. It is another mixed bag of emotions then, because I was enjoying this. And
For sure.
I'm giving it up again. It just constantly feels
so
like
good
I'm
at it.
Giving something up.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's our loss. It's the world's loss to not have the baking. Telling you.
Thanks.
I'm always plugging you, but your baking is, and your cooking in general is just phenomenal. So
thanks.
So hopefully you'll get back. Hopefully you'll get back to it one day soon.
Hopefully. What was nice this week was I've been trying to remind myself why we moved here, and because lockdown restrictions have eased a little bit. I've been trying to explore London. So you and I went to Shoreditch, an area I've wanted to explore more. After you left, I definitely indulged in a self-care practice.
Oh, tell
so
me.
You and I had lunch together, and then we had the most delicious apple crumble. And I think it was like a mixed fruit crumble. That was great in itself, and just hanging out. Definitely self-care. But after you left, I saw the NARS store, and I went inside and bought the brightest lipstick you could find. I don't even know why I bought lipstick, because we're wearing masks. I mean, what was the point? But I bought a neon.
My masks are a mess. Yeah.
It's so gross. My mask is disgusting. Even though I wash it all the time, it's so gross. But I bought like a bright neon orange lipstick. I'm talking like 80s orange lipstick.
Nice. Oh, that would look good on you. Yeah.
You know, lipstick makes me feel good. And it's a small way, it's a small self-care practice that I can do.
Yeah, honestly, I totally agree. It just, it makes me feel more awake. I mean, I do feel a little bit odd at sometimes 8 a.m. throwing on some like fluorescent pink lipstick. But if it makes you feel better, it makes you feel better. And I got a lot of compliments on it. I think people were like, that's an interesting choice for 8 a.m. at, you know, bus stop, drop off. But you know what? I didn't care. I was like, whatever. And I told them, I was like, you know what? It makes me feel better. Okay.
I came home with the lipstick on, and my husband was like, wow, that's really bright. And then even my daughter was like, wow, mom, is that new?
why do people have to comment on it? Like, it's just so, I guess it's like, you know, they're paying you a compliment. It's nice, but you almost don't.
That wasn't a compliment.
Oh, okay.
They never said that looks nice. They were just like, that's bright.
Commenting on how bright it is. Okay, well, just take it. Just go with it. Go with it.
Yeah. But we're both indulging in some self-care this week. We're both going away. On a vacation.
Yeah, it's really nice. We got a very last minute, it must have been a cancellation or something. The caveat is they did warn of some construction work going on beside the property. So we'll see how heavy it is. But you know what? We're like, I don't care if there is a digger machine in the middle of the living room. I'm going. Like, just to get out. just to get out of the city. It'll be nice. And honestly, the kids, like, they're not going to care, right? They're going to be like, oh, wow, there's construction. This is amazing. Yeah, it's nice. We're going to Dorset, and we rented this little house, and it's sort of like a self-contained, resort, for lack of a better word, I guess. Like, they have a swimming pool, they have tennis courts and stuff. So you can just book that stuff and you don't have to leave if you don't want. But part of its appeal is the surrounding area too. There's Bournemouth and pool, and it's all, sort of all, within Dorset, and the beach is beautiful, and it'll be nice. It'll be a really nice, getaway for like 4 days, short and sweet.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm looking forward to recharging. I just realized that we are recording this episode on a Sunday, but they don't actually get published until Friday. And so we're actually already going to be on our way back from our vacation by the time this episode is recorded. Yes. And so we can talk about what we did while we were away, but we're going to the Lake District. We've never been up there. It's up northern England. Mm. And there's a bunch of lakes and a bunch of greenery. That's kind of all that's all I know about it. Oh, and there's like a place that sells gingerbread, and they've been making the same recipe since the 1800s. So that's all I know, other than the fact that Beatrix Potter has a house there or something, or had a house there.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll check that out. No plans. I'm just looking forward to chilling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We'll have to recap when we're back.
Absolutely.
On that note, so I know we usually end with like a word or some inspirational quote or something. We've even done that yet. But I just wanted to end with a sort of a related question to what we've been talking about. And it's a question for you and even for our listeners, if anyone's interested in giving me a response. But what do you say when someone says, what do you do, or do you work? Because I always find that I say the same thing. My response is almost exactly the same. Oh, I used to work before we moved here a couple of years ago, but I resigned, and you know, I've been at home since.
Yeah.
I am just not happy with that response. Like I work. I'm like, I work. I don't have a paid conventional job, but it is work. And I need like a good answer. We don't have to answer it now, but unless you have one.
I do not. I think I hate that our work defines who we are, and that we have to, as soon as you meet someone, oh, what do you do? Like, you can't just be. You can't.
That's true.
Yeah. Our work is so intertwined with our identity. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing you ask. And I'm guilty of asking other people, oh, hi, nice to meet you. What do you do? So what do you do? And I don't know if it's just we're so used to letting that be a conversation filler or does it really define us? I don't know. I do say that I am a baker, but I am not currently working for someone. Right. That is generally my answer. It is a hard one. I also maybe this is a topic for another time. I used to be an HR professional. I used to work in analytics, and I had a completely different day job. I sat behind a desk all day, and for a long time when I transitioned to being a baker and doing more work with my hands, it felt really weird, and I felt like I had to justify it. Like justify why I was leaving a professional environment. Not to see that a professional baker wasn't a professional environment. It was just a different kind of professional environment. And I felt like I had to speak to that. And I don't like that. I think all work is hard work.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? This is actually a great, I feel like we need to do like a whole topic on, it's called like informal economy, that kind of thing where.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Create your own careers, and even how you define your career and what you do for it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I will end it there, but it was so nice chatting with you. And I just have to say how grateful I am for you, Raheel, because honestly, doing this podcast is like a mini therapy session where we just get to let out our frustrations and different emotions. So it's been great.
It has been great. And yeah, we're leaving. I feel like we're leaving on a really heavy note. Your question has raised so many feelings for me right now. I'm like, whoa. So we will definitely circle back to this topic. And I wanted to make you laugh really quickly. I do have a little silly word. As usual, I still speak the wrong English. The word for in a male bathroom, when you go to the bathroom and you use a urinal, the word in British English is urinal.
Oh, yes. Yes, we were talking about this.
Because I just can't get over how hilarious it is. So they say urine, but they call it a urinal. And yeah. That's where I'm going to leave it today.
I like it. Note. Okay. Well, I'm never going to call it a urinal, just for you.
Oh, God. No, me neither.
Your reference. Okay. Anyhow, thank you, Riel, and thank you so much for tuning in to our listeners. Were you about to say something?
I was going to say thank you to everyone who's been listening to us. I mean, we've only been live for about a week and a bit, and we've gotten a really good response. I was so worried that only my friends and family were listening, but looking at the statistics, there's people in countries that I don't have family and friends. And so that feels really good.
Yeah, it is. It's an international response. It's great. I'm like, do I know anyone in Spain? No, I don't. Oh my God, must be someone, a perfect stranger. So thank you. Thank you to all who have been listening, and please continue to do so. And don't forget to subscribe. Feel free to leave a comment as well. If you want to email us any questions or comments, please feel free to do so at pantsnottrouserspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @knottrousers or on our Instagram page @pantsnottrousers. Chat with you soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.